There's nothing quite like the lectionary when it serves up a powerful passage of God's healing power in a week that is filled with 5 deaths and 2 diagnoses of terminal illness and 3 moves to hospice. Nothing quite like the scripture to wrestle with. And yet this is the passage that we read this morning, that we read and wrestle with in this day. A story of dramatic healing of Simon's mother-in-law. I love the sense of humor in this passage that they show up at his house and find out that his mother-in-law is sick with fever, and who would be in charge of feeding them all when they show up at the house? So of course he would raise them, right? And we read that, and she got up and served them. That's what it says in this passage. A surprising passage for us as we look deeper into the healing ministry and what it means to be healed in the life of ministry. When I was talking with Andrew about this text, writing sermons in my household are probably something that you should probably not know much about, but when I was talking to Andrew about this text as I was heading off to Presbytery yesterday morning around 7 o'clock to be there for the full day, he said, I think you're just kind of really jealous of Jesus going off in the quiet to pray at this moment. Perhaps that's a part of the story as well that we will pick up. But we are in the midst of a text in our scripture this morning as we encounter this passage in Mark where things are moving very fast. And it may feel that way to you as well in these days. Even in the midst of things slowing to a halt, there's other parts that are speeding up or moving quickly and challenging us in the pace of life, in the balance of life. Disregard the sermon title because that was chosen a long time ago. But this pace of life issue, this pace in Mark's gospel. Mark is an action and healing oriented gospel, and the pace is really fast. Healing in Mark's gospel is an integral part of the kingdom of God that Jesus brings and points to. We may remember that the root of the word salvation is to heal or make whole. Jesus' ministry literally touches people and transforms them to new life, and he is not afraid to do so. Mark's records of physical healings frequently mention Jesus touching the patient 5 times or being touched by them 3 times in the healing stories that we read there. When Jesus touches the lives of people, there is healing. And yet, Jesus' touch in this case of Simon's mother in the law was particularly unorthodox because men who were not of the same family did not touch women in those days. And yet, Jesus touches everyone. That's what we hear, that's what we read, that's what we know as you think about Andrew's message about the way God evokes from us what is deep inside in our life and brings it forth in ministry. Not only is the sermon title irrelevant, what's on my paper needs to be rearranged constantly. I want to tell you, for those of you I know who will not be here on Wednesday or not able to be here when we celebrate Rolf's life and point to the resurrection, a little bit about that journey. Because that loving and healing, that evoking power of the amazing person he was inside was so evident in this last week of his life, so visible. Around his bedside at the hospital, but particularly in the day that he was able to come home under hospice care, surrounded by his sons and caregivers who had cared for him for many years, laughing, telling stories, seeking to position him more comfortably, adjusting oxygen, touching. And through it all, the smile that we all remember from his time with us, from the motions he made just 2 weeks ago at the annual meeting. Beyond what we usually think of as healing, the comfort and the support of hospice surrounding him brought an amazing power and a witness in the transition to Rolf's new life with God, a new life and mobility that I find simply overwhelming to contemplate. We read in this text today that Jesus leaves the synagogue and enters the house of Simon and Andrew and heals Simon's mother-in-law. And we read further that over and over again, the people came to the door. The whole city came to the door to be healed. And then we read that Jesus healed many. It doesn't say Jesus healed them. It doesn't say Jesus healed all of them. It said Jesus healed many of them. It's a struggle that we have in this life to realize that not everyone is healed in the sense of being cured. And yet when I was working in hospice ministry during my seminary years, I realized that and heard the words of the hospice trainer that was teaching new volunteers that there are many ways that people are healed, even if they are not cured. We see that all around us. We see that in the peace that people have when they come to that point of death, to be able to let God and embrace, let go and let God embrace them in that final moment. We see it in the ways in which you can hear the impact that someone like Rolf had on the people around him in helping them to see life in a new way and to be able to explain that to one another, to share that with one another in laughter and in tears, in amazing stories and many very irreverent stories, some of which will be shared on Wednesday, no doubt. Rolf was a man of joy. I told you last Sunday that he was very near death at last Saturday, and when I walked into his hospital room after worship on Sunday afternoon, he was like a different person. Now, maybe it was the Patriots game that was coming up soon that he was anticipating. I think it really was, because for Rolf, it was a dream come true to watch the Patriots with his sons. His caregiver, Richard, who also was watching the game, said this week that he thought that Rolf's heart rate was a little bit dangerous during that game. But I know for a fact that Rolf loved those moments with his son, with caregivers, with celebrating and seeing the Patriots win that game. It seems so simple. And yet sometimes the rhythms of ministry and life need to be simplified for us as well. It is one of the great mysteries of God why some are healed and some are not. But we know and we have seen firsthand, those of us who have lived in this community for a long time, that healing is not required for the light and love of God to shine through a person vividly. Yet also, when healing doesn't come, we would wish it. And seems to me, and when healing doesn't come as we would wish it, it seems to me proof that we truly live in days where the kingdom is not yet fully realized. And so Jesus in this story continues to teach beyond this healing moment. After all of this healing success that he has had in the city, what does he do? He goes away in the darkness to pray, to a deserted place. And when he comes back to tell his companions to move on. Jesus comes to tell them that they have other places they need to go. They have other people they need to encounter. They have other opportunities to show forth that message. He doesn't let them sit in that moment of celebrating the healing and the power of transformation to new life, to a good death. He keeps moving. He keeps moving. And the disciples struggle with that because they would much rather stay in the place where he did all this flashy miracle healing stuff than to go off into new horizons, new places, new opportunities to use the gifts that they know they have to celebrate the gifts that Jesus brings in that. Kayla McClurg writes in a devotional on this passage that there is for many of us the temptation to follow our gifts instead of following Jesus. And this is the challenge that he brings us this day. To follow our gifts means to uncover and hone what we are naturally inclined toward. And we do want to build on our strengths and then offer those strengths to places and people in need. But to follow Jesus sometimes means something else, Kayla says. It's to listen inwardly to the mystery of our unique pain and promise, to open our minds to what is beyond our understanding, to move out of our comfort zone and onto a path that leads where we know not where, she writes. That is also a part of God's sense of humor in our lives, that we are continually being called out into new directions, new opportunities, new places where we will encounter God in new ways. Next Sunday, I will not be with you in this worship service because I have been invited to the Hamden Korean Church to speak about Chisefu. They came to the presentation at Presbytery in September when Dr. Chilenje and Nancy Collins were here to share about that ministry, and they are excited about it. And they have asked me to come down and speak during the worship service. Three services, the first one at 8:00 in the morning in North Haven, Connecticut. And I learned yesterday when I was introduced to all the pastors and the elders that were at Presbytery, all three services are in Korean. This is out of my comfort zone. And yet, what an opportunity and what a joy to follow where Jesus, I think Jesus has led me in some very surprising ways to say yes. Sure, I'll come and talk for 10 minutes in a worship service three times about Chisefu. Jesus calls us as we seek to follow him into surprising places at times. And Jesus calls us and embodies for us and witnesses to us that we need to be in prayer about that. As he shows his disciples that time needs to take place, that prayer needs to take place, that process of turning to God and really seeking what does God want us to do in this moment needs to take place. This is the kingdom of God that we encounter in this text. Not an easy one. Not an easy word about healing, not an easy word about following, not even an easy word about going to a darkened place to pray. But such is the kingdom of God, presented in the work and ministry and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and working its way out in the world until finally Christ comes again. Let us give testimony as we continue on this journey through these days to this kingdom of God, to this reign of God in the now and in the not yet. And let us gather as a people of God that we might be sent to proclaim that message into all the world. Amen.